You're listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. Here at Sunrise, we believe that Christ is all. We desire to see Christ in all the Scripture, honor Christ in all of life, and spread Christ to all the world. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website, sunrisecc.com. Here is this week's message.
Heavenly Father, we come to your word this morning, desiring to grow in our understanding, but even more so, growing in the way in which it should move us in life. Lord, that your word would not just be words. Lord, would your word move us to action? Would it move us and stir us and grow us in a way where, as we leave this place, Lord, we are continuing in our transformation, our reformation, our growth towards Jesus Christ. Lord, we need your help in these things. We thank you for your Spirit that strengthens us in this work. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this summer, Adam referenced it a moment ago, we are trekking through what would be considered a series on the healthy church. What is it that as a church we want to be about? In that series, if you will, one of the risks when we do a series is that we come to a Sunday and today we talk about discipleship, for example. And we talk about discipleship, and discipleship is then perceived in kind of a silo. Last week we talked about discipline, next week we talk about leadership, and we miss the reality that all of it is interconnected. All of it is about what we are doing together as a church, and it all stems from really where we spent time in May, that Christ is all. It is what has been the vision and mission of our church, and now explicitly is the vision and mission of our church, that Christ is all in all of the Word. Christ is all in all of life. Christ is all to the world. And so if that is the case, not if, but because that is the case, then we look at how does that happen in the context of our life together as a church. Therefore, the series on what it means to be a healthy church, what it means to live out the church as biblically well as we can. And so today we come to the term or the idea or the theme or the objective or the work of discipleship. It's a familiar word, but it's good for us to just pause and look at it, hopefully in a fresh way, but at least in a renewed way, in the sense that we grow in our understanding of not just what it is, but what it means for each of us as individuals and collectively as a body. And so this morning we will spend time in Ephesians 4 specifically, and as we go there, we simply ask the question, what is discipleship? So before we get there, I sent a message to one of our brothers in Peru this week as I was preparing to teach. And I shared with him what I would be teaching on, and I asked him, what are some verses that you would use if you were teaching? And his response was the Great Commission. And so as we head towards Ephesians, I want to stop first at the end of Matthew and remind you of what the charge was of Jesus to his disciples, and therefore the charge is to us as Jesus' disciples today. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, Jesus speaking to the 11 says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so we see here, what is discipleship? Discipleship is it making disciples or is it growing disciples? And I would argue that making disciples is the work of evangelism. It's the work of missions. It is what we are called to. We've talked about that already as a church, and we will talk about it more as a church, doing that well. But bringing people into the family of God is not enough. It's where the work then begins. And so it says here that teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so evangelism and missions is disciples making disciples, and then discipleship is disciples growing disciples with one another. And how do we do this? We do this through the presence of Jesus Christ in his Spirit, because we can't do this on our own. It's Jesus is here. I am with you always to the end of the age. He's given the authority to do it, and he's given the sustaining authority to continue it. And the same is true for us today. And so as we get into our text in Ephesians, having this understanding or this reminder in mind, we come to Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. She's just making a joyful noise. It's okay. So in Ephesians, the letter of Paul written to the church in Ephesus, Paul does two primary things. And our text is right in the middle of this, but two primary things. One, he spends the first three chapters or so reminding the church who they are, reminding the believers who they are. And who God is. We've read the first chapter this morning of how awesome God is and what he's done through Jesus Christ and his sustaining work through the Holy Spirit. And in his goodness, in his faithfulness, in his grace, he made a way through Jesus Christ that those that were outside the family of believers, those that were outside the chosen people, the Gentiles, might be brought into the family tree, be redeemed by grace, not on their merit, but on the merit of Jesus Christ. And in so, being adopted as heirs. They have an inheritance that was not theirs before. It is not theirs in their own making, but rather through Jesus Christ. It is theirs. Therefore, because of these great and grand things, how then should they now live? It is the remainder of the letter of Ephesians. And it highlights individual conduct. It highlights what it looks like to live out the faith in the context of family. It highlights what it looks like to live out the faith in the work environment. But it starts at living out the faith as a church. And so as we come to chapter 4, we see what it means to be about discipleship in the context of the church, to grow as believers, and to live out what it means to be followers of Christ together. And so Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says this. And he gave the apostles, he being Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so this is our text for this morning. I don't have headings or sections or outlines, but rather what we will do here, because this is, if you notice, at least in the English translation, there's just a lot of commas here. There's a couple periods, but it's mostly one run-on sentence. It's one continuous thought. And so what we're going to do here is just go verse by verse and see how each one ties to the next, to the next, to the next, and ultimately, what is the instruction to us here as the church. And I liken it to when I was growing up, most of you know this, but if you don't, I grew up on a farm. And we farmed a lot, okay? It wasn't just a little mom-and-pop thing. We farmed about 2,000 acres, and we grew a lot of different crops. All of those crops, for the most part, were farmed in rows. And so we would plant in rows, we would harvest in rows, but in between planting and harvesting, as the crops were growing, especially when it came to things like corn and other crops like that, one of the things that would happen is weeds would grow up between the rows, right? And other things would happen, dirt would get packed down, and so we would have to come along at least twice between planting and harvest and cultivate between the rows. And the goal there was to stir up the dirt, to oxygenate it. Sometimes we would inject fertilizers in there if necessary, depending on the circumstance, and at the same time push dirt up onto the roots and the stems of the plants to make sure that it was well held and sturdy. And so as we come to the verses this morning, as I thought about it this morning, my hope is that we do the same thing here, going line by line, row by row, that we stir up in this things that are here, but sometimes maybe we don't quite see or fully understand, that ultimately help us, unfortunately, miss out on what we are fully being instructed to do. And so we want to till this for our benefit here together this morning. And so to the end of discipleship, look here at verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. The first thing I want you to see here is he gave. These roles, these responsibilities are not man-made. They're not institutional roles. They're not things that we've created just to be really efficient at doing church together. But rather, Jesus gave these roles for purpose. He instituted them, not us. Adam will spend, I think you're still preaching next week, right? Okay, good. If you didn't know that, you are. Adam will talk more about church leadership next week and what does that look like biblically, what does that look like as we live that out here at Sunrise. But we know this last role is the one that's most familiar to us, and it says the shepherds and teachers. That's actually one role. It's a hyphenated word. It's shepherd teacher. It's pastor teacher. It's two parts of the same role. It is caring and instructing. Caring and instructing. We know that both in the vocational pastor as well as the non-vocational elder. And so we've been given leaders to be part of this discipleship work, but here's the thing. It doesn't end at that verse, right? In the context of church, oftentimes we are prone to or inclined to leave the work of church to those that are either paid or called to lead in that work. But that's not what is being said here. The verse does not end here, but rather continues on that these roles and responsibilities are given for what? For who and for what? Go to verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So the teaching is for whom? It's for the saints, for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? All believers. And to equip. This is the same word used, for example, in the Gospel of Mark, where the disciples are mending their nets. They're not mending them just to have nice nets. They're mending them for purpose. They're mending them to go and work to catch fish. And so this equipping here that the teachers, the pastor teachers do, is to equip the saints for work. What is that work? Well, it says here, the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Ministry here, I'm going to whip out all of my Greek knowledge, and that is actually zero. But it's important here. And my point in saying that at first is, I think sometimes we come to the Word and we miss out on things because we don't cultivate and dig deep enough. We miss out on things. And the reality is today we have resources that are more readily available to us to dive deep into the Word. So we have no excuse. And so one of those things is right here, this word or words work of ministry. It is the Greek word diakonia. It's where we get the word deacons. It's a work that is serving. It is a work that is communal. It is a work that is for everyone. It's not for the leaders. It's a work that is for everyone. And so, what is that work? It's the building up of the body of Christ. This is the work of the ministry. And so, we are being equipped to build each other up. It's not left to just the pastor and teacher. We'll talk a little bit more maybe about what that looks like here in the context of Sunrise. But before we get there, move on to verse 13. How long does this work take? At what point are we finished? Spoiler alert, never. Verse 13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See here first, we all. If you are a believer, if you are a disciple of Christ, there is not a person that is excluded from the we all. Right? It's impossible. We all attain. It is communal, it's collaborative, it's incorporative. No one is excluded that is a disciple. And so it's a work for everyone. To what end? To the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. This knowledge is not just a knowing academically. That would be easy, maybe. But it is a knowledge that is deeper. It's a super knowledge. It's an experiential, heartfelt, spirit-felt knowledge with Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We do that through the unity of faith with one another. That's probably a sermon in and of itself right there. But I'll just say that unity does not require uniformity. And so we are to pursue peace. We are to pursue unity with one another. And there are going to be times where we disagree, but that doesn't mean that we can't still have unity because we are all saved by the gospel. Our unity is the gospel. That is why we can sit in this room together this morning and pursue growing in our likeness of Christ together because we have all been saved by the gospel. There's no other means, no other way we could do that this morning. And so we pursue it together. We pursue this experiential knowledge of what it means to be the children of the King. To mature manhood or full personhood, that is a metaphor, just so we're clear. It's a pursuit of maturity. To what end? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't think I can fully comprehend exactly what all that entails. But I do know this. If it were not a beneficial pursuit, and I think that's an understatement, then it would not be here and called for us to pursue it. It feels very unachievable. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it feels unachievable because in many ways it is unachievable except for the saving work of Jesus Christ and the redeeming of the work, redeeming work of the Father through him. And in that, we are being renewed each and every day, transformed in our likeness of Christ so that one day we have been redeemed, we are being redeemed, we will be redeemed fully in eternity when we are with him. But the other thing that we are to see here is this. We cannot do this individually. While there is an element of individual work in this, the reality is this is happening in the context of the church. And so discipleship, disciples, growing disciples, becoming more like Jesus Christ, happens fully in the context of the body of believers. And so we can't achieve it if we attempt to do it on our own. We can only achieve it if we are part of the body, growing one another together. And through the power of the Spirit in that. Again, not based on our own human efforts, but that gospel outworking, the Spirit empowering us to do that together. But why? Is it just because we should be thankful for being saved and we should respond accordingly? Sure. Is it because we've been told to, therefore we should be obedient? I'm a firstborn. I'm wired that way. Just obey the rules and everything's going to be fine. Sure, yes. But there's more here. Why? Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Have you ever seen or been built a sandcastle on the beach that was right at the edge of the surf? And you build it, and as the waves come in, the water slides up, it grabs some of the castle and it pulls it away. And the next wave comes up and it grabs some of the castle and it pulls it away. And then you try to build it back up and you try to build a moat around it and walls and all kinds of things. And the reality is at some point the tide comes in high enough where the water grabs the castle and pulls it fully away. That's the imagery that I think of when I think of this verse. If we're not moving to become stronger and know more deeply our Savior Jesus Christ, if we're not growing in our likeness of him, then we are left exposed to being pulled and thrown and washed away by every new idea, new argument, new conversation, new loudest voice that garners attention. And this is a problem because all of this, remember, Christ is all of life. So every piece of our life is a testimony to something. Every piece of our life is a testimony to something. The question is, what is it testifying to? And if our doctrine, if our beliefs, if if the doctrine is always shifting, then we testify to a God that's ever changing, is based on my own perception, is really hard to nail down, because next month it'll be a little bit different. He will be a little bit different. And does it mean that there aren't times in our maturation as followers of Christ that we don't come to a better understanding, that we aren't corrected? Yes, those things happen, but the point here is if we're always shifting, moving, then our testimony to who God is and who Christ is ever-changing, and it's harmed. And that's a really big deal, because not only are we testifying to God's goodness and Jesus's tremendous mercy extended to us, to those that are around us. But Paul actually says earlier in this letter to the Ephesians that the witness goes far beyond that. In Ephesians 3, 10 and 11, he says, let me find it, that it's through the church that the manifold wisdom, the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known to whom? Is it to friends and neighbors? Is it to brothers and sisters that are part of the same nation? No, made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. There are beings in the heavenly places. John Calvin would say this includes what we would think of as heavenly and also underworld. So those that are part of the spirit world, only God has the knowledge of God. And so there are heavenly beings, there are spiritual beings that are learning things of God just as we are. And Paul says here that it's actually the testimony of the church to those heavenly beings what God is doing in redeeming his creation. It is a mystery revealed in how he is rescuing. And so if that is the goal of not just a local witness, important, but and not just a global witness, critically important, but a cosmic witness, then if our doctrine is always shifting, ever changing, then man, it's hard to say that we would be successful in that. So growing in our likeness of Christ, challenging and spurring one another on to that end has big, big implications, cosmic implications. So how do we do this? Last couple verses. Verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, that is, into Christ. So the thing I really want you to see here and maybe understand better is that, again, sometimes translations to English don't fully capture what is being said here. And if we were to translate literally this phrase, speaking the truth in love, in English, it's probably more appropriately translated, truthing in love. So truthing in love is speaking, but it's more than that. It's living out a faith in love with one another, speaking truth both with our mouths and with our conduct and with our presence and with our challenge and in our encouragement and our growth. All of these things we are called to do, truthing in love. Paul summarizes maybe this thought a little bit differently in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, where he says, therefore, this is one of the ways that we live this out, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We're called to be imitators of God as beloved children, because that is who we are. And we're to walk in the reality that Christ has loved us and has given himself up for us. And therefore, as we truth in love with one another, we are to give ourselves up and love each other as Christ has loved us first. And then we end in verse 16. At least the end for this morning. the what it, and how it is accomplished. When this happens, when truth and in love happens, and we're growing up into the head that is in Christ, it's from Christ whom the whole body joined and held it together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So see again here in verse 16, the whole body. Earlier in the text, we saw we all, whole body. If you are part of the body of Christ, you are part of the body of Christ. No one is excluded from this. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking, discipleship is good, but it's not for me, I would challenge you. If you are a follower of Christ, then you are part of the whole body, and discipleship is for you. If you are a Christian, discipleship is for you. And the whole body joined and held it together. There again, a couple weeks ago, Joel talked about membership. This togetherness, being committed to life, to one another. If we are not committed to life with one another, then we're just chasing a bunch of things as individuals, and as we talked about earlier, that will not accomplish fully the work that Christ has set out for us to be part of in as part of the church. And so we're called to do this together, to be members one to another, so that, and we're being reminded, we're being equipped, so that when each part is working properly, the whole body grows and it builds itself up. So, have you ever had a part of your body that just didn't work quite right? Maybe that's a temporary thing. Maybe that's a chronic thing. It could be something as simple as a foot that fell asleep to a chronic condition. Didn't intend for this to be the point of the sermon or example, but our brother Chris Broadus is in the hospital this morning. His back is not working right, and he's not able to move. And my point in mentioning him and bringing this up is, we know from experience that when one part of us is not working right, it's really hard for the whole to work well. If it's just a foot that's fallen asleep, it'll fix itself, but walking from the couch to the kitchen is a little bit of a challenge. When the back goes out, and I've had those experiences too, simply reaching for something in the refrigerator, much more so trying to pick up a child or something that needs to be lifted, is virtually impossible, and it's this one small area of the back that's pinched, and all of a sudden it affects everything else. So it is true with the body of Christ. When one piece of it is not working properly, the full health of the body of Christ is hindered. Have you ever thought of your role in that way? Seriously, like, have you ever thought how significant your role is in this gathering of believers here at Sunrise and in the global church? You have that much impact. And when you are not operating as Christ has called you to in the context of the body of believers, everyone else is missing out. Don't rob us. Don't rob us. And I promise I will do my best to be the same or not do the same. But when it works properly, we see the reality that each part has an assignment, and it's not random, it's not coincidence, it's intentional, it is a sovereign design. It is not just accidental. And so in it, there is purpose. And what is that purpose? Well, what we've been talking about the whole time. That disciples would be growing disciples, that we'd be growing in our maturity of Christ together, because we cannot do it fully on our own. We need each other. And we need each other because we need to grow in this, because as Paul does in his letter, then our life intersects with lots of other parts of our reality. And we want to be well equipped to live out our faith in those places, whether it's in individual conduct, in the context of family, in the context of work, in any other place that the Lord leads us. We want for our witness to be one that declares that Christ is all, to those that see us, to those that are around us, and to the cosmos that we can't see. And so as we begin to wind down our time here this morning, at least looking at God's word, if you are here this morning and you are not a disciple of Christ, if the language of Ephesians 1 that Joel read at the beginning of the service this morning is foreign language to you, that this idea of adoption by a heavenly Father through the sacrifice of a son is not familiar to you, or is familiar, but one that you have resisted, the call is still the same. Come. We won't have an altar call here this morning, something more of a tradition in generations of the church gone by. But there are people here, myself included, that would love to talk to you. So come. If you're a faithful attender and you're here and you would win the attendance competition if we had a little starboard in the back like we used to have in Sunday school growing up. I won that every single year. Yeah, I feel like Paul sometimes. Like, you want to rack up records on who's best at doing this? I've got a pretty high attendance record. Started from birth. But the point is, if you are faithful in attending, but you are not actively participating, if you are not doing your part that you are called to as a disciple of Christ, that you're not in some way involved in discipling others, then you're just attending. You're missing the point. And we desire to do church well together. We desire to be a healthy church. We desire for our church to model what Christ has called us to in the Bible. Therefore, we are called to disciple and spur one another on. And so I would challenge you, if attendance is the goal, set a new goal. And if you're here this morning, as a follower of Christ, and you're trying, that you understand that there's weight and there's gravity to who has saved you and your responsibility in sharing that good news and encouraging one another in that good news, I would simply remind you, as Paul does to the church in Ephesians, who he was super proud of, don't forget who God is. Don't forget who Jesus is. Don't forget who the Holy Spirit is and who you are in him. And what that then means for your life. That the reality is, Christ is all, and everything that you do testifies to something. So therefore, consider that your impact as a disciple of Christ is much bigger than you probably have thought about before, at least in the everyday. Sometimes we get lost in the mundane, right? Somewhere between figuring out what we're going to make for dinner and how in the world I'm going to get everything done that I need to get done before the end of the week, or working through whatever it is that we currently suffer from. Even in the mundane and the everyday, we are called to be part of something that's much grander, much bigger, much more intricate, much more powerful than what we normally realize and take for granted. And so we are called to discipleship. Maybe said more personally, I need you, and I hope you need me, or you understand that you need me. Not because I'm awesome, but because we need each other. So let's be a people that are intent on not just existing in proximity to one another, but to building each other up by truthing in love so that we are not pushed and pulled by cultural winds, but instead declare together to our city, our world, our heavenly places, the heavenly places, the goodness and faithfulness of the Father and our Savior Jesus Christ, who is with us to the very end because he has adopted us as children and he will not leave us. We get to do this together. May we ever be growing in this. I don't have a checklist of now this is what this means. Because the reality is it means a lot. Gathering here on Sunday is a really, really big part of that. How else are we to teach and to be equipped than if we are not coming to God's word together? That happens here. How else are we to be encouraged and corrected and helped if we're not in presence with one another, whether that's here, whether that's in small group, whether that's Friday morning prayer and Bible study, whether that's time together in smaller pockets, whatever that looks like, the reality is we have said intentionally as a church that it's not our goal to have a bunch of programs. It's our goal here to have a gospel community that pursues one another. And so to give you a checklist of do this, do this, do this, do this, again misses the point. That's an attendance record. What Christ is concerned about here is your heart and growing your heart with one another together. That is what we are called to. That's what we desire to be as a church. May God help us in that. Let's pray as we close our time here. Heavenly Father, thank you for your saving grace through Jesus that has given us peace with you. It is not a peace that somehow we have created. It's not a peace that we've brokered in some way. But it's only through the sacrificial and saving gift of death of our Savior that we are able to have peace with you. And so this morning, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that saving gift that we would be called adopted children, joint heirs with Christ. And thank you that you have not left us alone, that you have given us your Holy Spirit that works in our lives individually and that works in our lives corporately as your body. Lord, as we've talked about this morning, it is a high calling. It is a hard calling at times. Unity is called for because sometimes it's hard to experience. But Lord, may we be united in the gospel. And may we be growing together, building each other up in our likeness of Christ so that one day we will experience the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ when we are with you in eternity together. We love you. We thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. We pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's word. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.